what can we actually cut from the budget? What is it that we are trying to achieve? I really always keep coming back to that because sometimes I find myself caught in action, taking action that very distinctly is contributing to my sense of overwhelm. And I have a complete lack of clarity as to why I'm engaged in the first place.
This is the Entrepology Podcast, the podcast where we optimize the bodies, brains, and lifestyles of entrepreneurs, go-getters, and world-changing innovators.
Welcome to the Entrepology Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Megan Walker. As a naturopathic doctor and anthropologist, I optimize the health and performance of badass women working to change the world as entrepreneurs and go-getters. You know, people exactly like you. Your business, body balance, and inner badass. These are the themes we are exploring. So there's something that's come up in a lot of my groups over the last few weeks, and frankly, it has come up for me as well. And so I wanted to unpack it on our mini mindset series, and that is the topic of overwhelm. You know, as soon as so many of us went into lockdown and we had what we thought was going to be more time on our hands, I think what happened is that everyone went into production mode. We were baking bread and launching websites and starting YouTube channels and picking up new hobbies and planning out homeschooling schedules. And then quickly everything came crashing down around so many of us. I will speak for myself. I had the best intentions that first week, and very quickly things started to spiral out of control. There was too much on my plate. There were too many goals for me to handle, and I didn't have a system in place to really step back and focus on what matters. During this time, and in addition to us trying to manage all these things in our own life, we also, with Clinician Business Labs, launched this new product, and it's a totally free product called the Virtual Practice Toolkit. And I'm bringing this up here because I know not a lot of you are clinicians, but it enabled me to see so clearly how overwhelm can paralyze us with respect to action. And so transitioning to telemedicine and understanding the steps that so many of these practitioners needed to take, this was intuitive for me. It was easy for me to start to lay out the steps. And I quickly realized as we were releasing content that it truly, truly wasn't for so many of the practitioners involved. And the number one question we received was not around the logistics of what platform for you to use or how to implement the different protocols that we were sharing. It was simply, what action do I need to take next? Everyone was taking all of the actions, and they were taking their guidance not from the clear step-by-step pieces that we had laid out for them, but what was overwhelming so many individuals was flipping on their phones, checking out their colleagues, and looking at the spectrum of things that everybody else was doing. And it was immediately forcing people into a state of paralysis. And that's that. I recognized that, and I recognized it so clearly because it was exactly what was happening to me. I was watching people in my industry launch all of these new things, and so I felt like, oh my gosh, I have to keep up. I should be launching those things too. I was watching my friends all master sourdough bread baking, which I cannot do. The bacteria sneaks into my starter. I was watching all these people do other things, and it was a really poignant reminder for me that when I have been successful in my life, it has actually been because I have put my blinders on. I have stopped looking outward, and I have trusted inward. I've gone back to the outcome that I am looking to achieve, and I block out all distractions. So I want to talk today about this idea of overwhelm and some strategies to manage it, because I think that we are getting back to normal life. We are reintegrating with all of the things that were on our plate, and it's really easy to lose track of where we need to be going. So I wanted to share in this mini Mindset Master Mindset series, some strategies that I use in order to keep myself on track, strategies that so many of my mastermind students use to keep themselves on track, and so many, frankly, of the entrepreneurs that I look up to are using. And the first thing I want you to recognize here is that everyone's got slightly different tactics. One of the things I found most overwhelming for so long is I would look to these people that I admired. I would look at the strategies they were using and I'd start to implement them. And then I'd look at the next person who I admired and I'd look at their strategies and I would start to implement those. And rather than taking the best of, I found myself trying to do all of the things all of the time. And so the spirit in which I'm sharing this, I really want you to understand is I want you to pull from it the pieces that resonate most clearly with you. And I'm going to try to share why some of these strategies and some of these hacks have worked well for me. And I want you to really clearly triage them to determine whether or not you think it's a methodology that is going to be helpful for you. So first and foremost, when I catch myself getting overwhelmed, I come back to this idea of what is the end game? What is it that we are trying to achieve? We talk about this in the context of our kids. We talk about this in the context of business initiatives that we are taking on. What is the end game that we are really after here? When our kids suddenly become overscheduled, when we are running around like crazy, what is the intention behind it? Is the five languages because we want them to work at the UN? Is it because everybody else is doing it? What can we actually cut from the budget? What is it that we are trying to achieve? I really always keep coming back to that because sometimes I find myself caught in action taking, action that very distinctly is contributing to my sense of overwhelm, and I have a complete lack of clarity as to why I'm engaged in it in the first place. Sometimes this is business, sometimes this is private life, and sometimes we've been doing something for so long that we've lost track as to why we are doing it. So I really, when you are doing an inventory, and we're going to talk about at the end a strategy to inventory all the action that you are taking in your life, when you're doing your inventory, one of the triage questions to ask as you are looking at it is, what is the end game of this action? How critical is this action? Can I cut it? Or frankly, can I hand it off to somebody else? The next piece I want you to keep in mind as we're moving through this is this idea that other people's strategies are not necessarily your strategies. I wrapped up a really compelling podcast interview today that I really enjoyed with an entrepreneur that I deeply admire. And I love that a lot of the strategies I'm going to talk about today, she's like, I don't do any of them. I don't plan. I'm not good at that. It's not what I've done. It's not how I've been successful. And she just owned it. She knew what worked for her. And so that's one of the pieces that I want you to check in on here. You might not feel overwhelmed. You may have stuff all over the place, but you're thriving in it. You're actually feeling good. So don't let a conversation on overwhelm be projected upon you either. I want you to just sincerely settle into whether or not this is a feeling that you need to overcome, whether it's something you need to address in your life. And if it isn't, it's okay. You can skip on to the next episode. So when it comes to handling overwhelm, there's a few key questions that I think are really important to tackle. And there's two sides to overwhelm. There's probably overwhelm that happens in your business, and there's probably overwhelm that happens with respect to your personal life. And so when you're really clear with what is the end goal, what is the intention behind the action that I am taking here, we can really start to understand whether or not it's important. For the purposes of talking about overwhelm today, I'm actually going to talk about it in the context of business, but you can extrapolate it to personal life. And because one of the things I'm finding is happening so often with the individuals that I work with is that they're being overtaken by all of the possible action that they could be taking in their business, mostly because they are externalizing and looking outside at what everyone else is doing and lack a really clear understanding as to why they're taking that action inside their business for themselves. And first and foremost, I want everyone to just acknowledge on the business side the intention behind your business. And while yes, it is about having contribution and getting your product out into the world, the vehicle of a business is meant to earn and drive revenue. And so first and foremost, when we're talking about the triage questions related to the overwhelm in business, it's really important to ask, is the action that I'm taking actually driving revenue in my company? And when I step back and audit my activities, and I do this on a fairly frequent basis, what I find creeps up the most is the busy work or the extraneous work or the superficial work that does not contribute to our bottom line. So when you are triaging where you need to be taking action, the first area of focus in your business should be on those things that actually drive revenue. So that needs to be the first point of clarity that I want to put on the table. And that might be enough for some people right there. That might be your aha moment with respect to your business. You might be like, I am spending hours trying to figure out Instagram and get my Facebook page set up and doing all of this blogging, but I've got this amazing system that drives people through the door. Awesome. Let's focus on the amazing system that drives people through the door. Let's optimize that. Let's drive the revenue that will enable you to hire someone to do some of those other things. So really step back. What's the point in the action that you are taking? And what can you do to start to streamline it? Now, in general, when we look at all of the options that are on the table, there's a few key questions that I also think secondarily are really important to ask. And here is the order of things that I actually take myself through when I am taking an inventory, frankly, on the activities that I have in my week or in my day. And the first one, and I've already addressed this, I've already leaned into this idea, is what is the outcome I am trying to achieve? So often I feel like I get lost and I get caught in the action taking and I forget why I'm doing it in the first place. And I'll give you a really great example of this. I was working with a business coach last year and we were talking about the execution of a new initiative we were doing. She's like, Megan, like, what are you hoping to achieve with this? And her question was really innocent. Like, she thought I'd have a really smart answer. And what I realized was that I had no idea. I was initiating this huge project that was costing us a significant amount of money. And I really didn't have a ton of clarity around why I was doing it. I was like, oh, I'm going to kind of figure it out as I go once I've built the structure. And the answer, frankly, was insufficient. And I knew it in my gut. I knew it in my gut because I was feeling this sense of overwhelm and I was feeling this lack of congruence with the project. So be very clear. And it's okay to come back to this clarity on a daily basis. What is the outcome you are trying to achieve? And especially if you have a team and they're taking action for you, they've got to really understand the outcome that you are all working towards, because it's going to help direct their action. It's going to help mitigate their overwhelm as well. The second question I ask myself is, what timeline are we using for this execution? And I know this sounds so simple and this is like simple project management pieces, but sometimes when we're actually caught up in it, we forget it. So what outcome are you looking for? And what is the timeline for execution? Because once we know the timeline, we can really start to break down what our action steps need to be on a daily and weekly basis. And the thought of planning was always something that stressed me previously. The thought of planning all these things out, I was like, oh, it's going to take too much time to plan out. Let's just fly by the seat of our pants. I've realized that was in fact a limiting belief that I carried into this phase of my life. When you take the time to plan it out and execute what your days need to look like and your weeks need to look like in order to bring a project that you have an understanding of the outcome of to fruition, it is going to make your life so much easier. It doesn't stifle your creativity to have that planning in place. In fact, what it does is it actually gives you more freedom of space to bring a creative energy to it. The third question is, what action do you need to take related to this project or to this outcome? And I'm going to give you a really simple exercise at the end that I use that helped me determine whether or not it was time for me to hire someone. And it was when I did this exercise. But in this project, what action do you need to take and what do you need to outsource? So I know for me, when I don't answer a text or I don't take action on something in my business or I just kind of avoid things, it's usually because I actually don't know. I don't know how to do that thing. I don't know how to do the graphical thing, or I don't know how to do the tech thing. And so I try to find all these weird ways around it so that I'm working within my skill set. But sometimes the fastest way from point A to point B is straight through things that we don't know how to do. That's a really great time to hire out or ask for help. So to get to the outcome you're looking for and whatever project you're undertaking, what action do you need to do and what can you outsource? This goes for your business and frankly, it goes for your life as well. And then the fourth question that you really need to have clarity around is what order do all of these pieces need to do? So when I start a project, and other people have probably other ways of doing this, I really start with a blank sheet of paper and I kind of mind map out all of the different factors that are going to contribute to the outcome of the project. And then it gets overwhelming. So one of the things I know I need to do before I close off that piece is I actually start to need to number out the order of operations, as it were, in order to effectively execute that project. So I love this idea of mind mapping. I love this idea of sort of scattering things on a blank piece of paper, but we need to take the blank piece of paper and the scattered ideas and we need to put it into an order of execution. Otherwise, what happens really quickly is a revamping of your website blog turns into, oh, well, maybe we need to have a video strategy, and then maybe we need to have a YouTube channel, and then maybe we need to have like an introductory video for our YouTube channel, and then maybe we need to make sure our branding is, well, I don't like my branding, so should I redo my brand? Like, you can see how we're suddenly very quickly overwhelmed. So what is the fastest point from point A to point B? What action in that series do you actually need to take? And what is the order of operations? Sometimes we get so caught up in all of the side projects, they don't actually need to be addressed. And when you're finding that, when you're finding that you're starting to execute on a project where you're like, you're opening all of these cans of worms, I generally find that if you create that order of operations, you keep that mind map and you set it aside for 3 or 4 days, it settles out in your own mind. You find easier solutions. And maybe a fifth question here that I didn't prepare on this list, but I've been finding more and more, I've been asking myself, because I do have a habit of overcomplicating things, is I ask myself this: is there a way to make it easier? And this is actually a question that I've started to ask myself more and more in the last 4 weeks, which is probably why I forgot to add it to my traditional triage list that I'm sharing with all of you. But I have found by asking that question, is there a way to make this easier? Every single time my answer has been yes. In fact, now that I'm saying it out loud, the fastest way for me to avoid overwhelm has been addressing that question. Is there a way to make this easier? Am I making this way more complicated than it needs to be? Because if we go back to what we were talking about before, if the key initiative here is to drive revenue, opening all these can of worms and redoing branding and starting over and doing all these things, doing these things fresh, not only are you feeling overwhelmed by it, but you're contributing a huge amount of cost to whatever project you are undertaking. So what outcome are you after? What timeline does it have to be executed upon? What action do you need to take and what can you hand off? What order does this project need to be initiated in? And finally, is there a way to actually make it easier? So once we know all those things with respect to a project at large or something that we need to undertake, that's when I go back and I go, okay, I know what needs to be executed upon. Now I need to actually fit this into my regular life. And you can see even as I'm breaking it down, in fact, even as I'm describing this breaking it down, I know that it changes my physiological state. I know it ups my creativity and it decreases my overwhelm. So the next piece that I then look at is really, what are my goals related to that project? And I do this in general. I do this annually. I do this on a quarterly basis with respect to my business. And now I've gotten into the habit of having some quick KPIs or key performance indicators. We talk about those on the podcast that I'm looking to have every single month. So how does this project fit into the goals that I have set for the year? And then how does it tie into the goals that I'm going to set for the day? And so there's three real things that I find help you in terms of that overall execution that you probably need to have in place, regardless of how you like to structure things in your own life. The first is having goals. Write down your goals for your family, for your money, for your health. The more specific and the more clarity you can bring to your goals, the easier it is going to be for you to execute upon them. So regardless of what your project is, take a step back, go even higher into the sky, that 30,000 foot level, and really go, okay, this project that I'm taking on that's creating overwhelm, how does it actually drive the goals that I have set for myself? So having a set of goals, again, it's a totally bigger lens, triage lens, through which you need to execute. The second piece, and I talk about this a lot, and we've got a mini training that I'll actually put into the show notes on this related to our time management system. It's called the Anthropology Time System, is building out a weekly schedule for yourself. So really planning in the time where you address email, planning in the time where you plan out your social media, planning in the time where you absolutely no go, always play with your kids. It's not business time. I find having my schedule blocked out is not only a really critical tool for communicating with my team, but it's a critical tool for me having boundaries with respect to my own time. So then I'm not, you know, I'm really focused with the time that I do have that I can bring to the table. So having a clear set of goals, having a weekly schedule, and I color code that schedule. I have a time where I focus on our business finances. I have time during my week where I record podcasts, so I don't do it in a willy-nilly manner, as it were. I've got time scheduled during the week for all of the major operations that I have to do with respect to my business. And then from a weekly schedule, the one thing that I do think makes a huge difference for me, and I resisted it for so long, is actually having a daily routine. When I go back and I inventory my most successful days, the days where I executed at a high level, but also where I just really liked the person that I was all day long. I liked who I was when I saw my kids. I didn't feel like, oh, it was such an unproductive day. I was just dilly-dallying around, is when I actually had a consistent daily routine. And I've been sharing a little bit more about my routine in my Instagram. And to be honest, this is a definite work in progress for me. I have lots of things that are musts for me in my day. Exercise is a must for me in my day. Taking time where I sit and I look at what my annual goals are, what my monthly goals need to be as a result, really connecting to what those are first thing in the morning, and ensuring that as I plan out my execution for the day, I don't always plan out my whole week. I have some key things in my week. Every morning I sit down, I go back to what those monthly goals are or my weekly goals are, and I make sure my execution on any given day are really driven back to those pieces. When I take time to set that in the morning, it makes a huge difference for me. So here's really quickly what I do. It doesn't mean that it's right for you. It's just giving you a template that you can play with and that you can work from. So on my most successful days, so it doesn't happen every day, but my most successful days, I get up and I brew some coffee in my French press, and that needs about 4 or 5 minutes in there. And while it's doing that, I do mobility things. So I get my body moving. My back gets really, really stiff while I'm sleeping. So I move my arms around. I like, for those of you who are familiar with the terminology, like I get my chi flowing. I stretch, like I really try to limber up my body. And then I drink a big thing of water. So I usually use one of my SodaStream bottles, which is like 840 mils. I know that because there's one sitting beside me. I will down that and then I will pour myself a cup of coffee. I will usually do some kind of thinking reading. Sometimes it's business reading, but usually it's thinking reading, and usually it's some kind of spiritual reading. Right now I'm reading a book related to the law of attraction called A Happy Pocket Full of Money. It's totally awesome. Sometimes it's things like conversations with God. Like it can be anything. It's really just about wrapping my ideas around something bigger than myself. And I'm really motivated by ideas. That's why that's what works for me. Sometimes I go through a business book phase. That's all I want to read in the morning. So it just happens to be where I'm at right now. So I read for a few minutes and then I journal whatever I want to throw down on the table, but I'm really truthful in my journaling. So this is not a place where I say things I want to say. I focus a bit on gratitude, but I just kind of let myself free throw and just like throw whatever ideas are just naturally coming out. And then I will sit for 5 to 15 minutes with my muse, and I will practice the act of meditating. And notice I didn't say, oh, then I'll go meditate, because I feel like that would just be such an arrogant comment on my part, given that I am really fairly new to meditation. So I have had an on again, off again relationship with it. I'm trying to get really consistent. It is the one thing through this whole COVID-19 phase that I was like, if there's one thing I actually really do want to commit to, it's not baking, it's meditating. And I feel like it is such a missing feature in my life. So it is very much an active state of practice for me, but I've been really trying to commit to a minimum of 5 to 15 minutes a day of that piece. And I can get that whole routine down to sort of 30 to 45 minutes. I get up between 6 and 6:30 to make it happen. And depending on my day, if I have time to exercise, I'll exercise right away. And I'm going to be really honest here. It also depends on my hair drying schedule. And only the women listening are going to understand that. But some days I'll get on my bike and I'm okay getting sweaty and drying my hair. Other times I just blow dried my hair the night before. So I'm going to wait and I'm going to do my workout a little bit later in the day. And the hair drying, frankly, it throws a wrench in my morning routine. But those other pieces, I try to be really consistent with. So that's how I do it. It doesn't mean that it's going to be right for you. Hey, you might not even have hair that you need to blow dry. But the key part is that I connect my morning. I create real clarity around the activities that I'm going to take in the course of my day. I connect it to my goals, and I pick 3 main actions and achievements that I want to have throughout the course of the day. Sometimes they're business and sometimes they're personal. And sometimes I need a weekday to deal with personal things, and that's okay. That's the beauty of entrepreneurship. You have the freedom to pick from those things. So where do we go? Where do we take action now? I don't want you to feel overwhelmed by the conversation around overwhelm. So I want to give you 2 actions. The first is in our show notes, which I will link up on all of our social channels. It's currently sitting on meganwalker.com/podcast. You can find this episode, which is episode 168. I will include our Our Anthropology Time training, which is super awesome. We really talk about how to start to break down your day. And we really use this as kind of lesson one when we're starting to move into a state where we're really trying to focus on what our purpose is. It starts by being able to open up your time. One of the lessons that came out of the creation of the Anthropology Time system was that we are doing things with our time that don't necessarily serve us. And so one of the other things I would love for you guys to do, and I don't have a great template for this. I literally just did this on a blank piece of paper, but I'm happy to pull one together for you, is I made a time journal of how I spent my day. So, you know, early in my career as an naturopathic doctor, I'd have people write a food journal, and I realized way more valuable than that tool is actually getting people to record what they do with their time. And I started to do this when I was reaching a state of overwhelm in my business, because I really wanted to understand if I was at a place where I could hire someone. And my deal with myself, there's no science behind this, was always when I have 12 hours worth of work per week, when I have like a full day worth of admin and other things going on, that's when I know I need to hire someone. And so I recorded my week and I color coded it in two different ways. And I believe I talk about this in the training. I had a pink and a yellow highlighter, and I remember it so clearly. And the things in pink were things that I absolutely had to do. No one else could do them, like charting for my patients. In yellow, what I did was I highlighted all the things I did not have to do. Clean my house, fold my laundry, plan my social media, like whatever it happened to be. I itemized every last thing that I did throughout the course of my week. And there are some things that I could have outsourced, but I wanted to do. We don't have a nanny, for example. That's just our choice and how our lifestyle works. So there's maybe a few things I could hand off there. We do have someone who helps us take care of our home. Your priorities are going to be different than my priorities, but two colors, not the maybe. What do you absolutely have to do, and what can you hand off? And from the can you hand off list, that's where you might pull back a few things that are really important to you. But for the most part, what you are going to find is a huge amount of the things that are taking up time and space and creating overwhelm in your life are things that can be handed off to other people. And the exercise here is not, well, how are we going to pay for those extra people, Megan? What are we going to do about that? That is not the exercise. What you are putting out to the universe right now is an acknowledgement that your time is disproportionately spent on things that can be handed off to other people. So I want you to start by accessing the Anthropology time training, and I'll hook it up in my Instagram bio as well. And then I want you to do a time journal for the next week. How are you spending literally every 15-minute segment of your day for a week? And then let's color coordinate that. Let's really start to understand how much of your day and how much of your overwhelm is being contributed by things that you do not need to do yourself. Guys, I love talking about these types of things. I love finding ease in our life. I like creating space so that we are able to have a larger contribution. And I love having conversations about things like this over in our Facebook group. So if you're not already part of the Anthropology Collective, find us on Facebook. The group is totally free. And we are, in addition to other things, we have revitalized recently our Badass Book Club. So come on in, join us, join the conversation about things that are affecting all of our lives as female entrepreneurs and people who have a big vision for their life. So I totally appreciate you being here. I'm so excited that you're part of our mindset mini series, and hang in, because we've got one more solo episode coming your way next week. I am going to talk to you, and we're going to start to unpack this idea of finding your purpose. Have an amazing week, everyone, and I can't wait to hear about how you are spending your time. The Anthropology Podcast is about leveling up your mindset, your health, and your business so you can maximize your impact in this world. To that end, we're going to begin with a new series of offerings to help you have that impact you've always dreamed of. Over on the Anthropology Podcast page, we're going to start doing live broadcasts of episodes. Sometimes these will be solo episodes, and sometimes these will be with guests. This is your opportunity to interact with us live as we are recording your favorite episodes. Adjacent to our Facebook page, we also have the Anthropology Collective, a free Facebook group with hundreds of fellow entrepreneurs just like you. In the Anthropology Collective, we're going to keep you up to date on upcoming masterclasses, interact daily, as well as have new offerings like our Badass Book Club. After a two-year hiatus, we are bringing it back. Our new April and May selections are going to be announced in the coming weeks, and we would love for you to participate in all of these new virtual offerings. I believe that when people have their health, they can change the world. That is what inspired us to start this podcast in the first place. And that is what is inspiring us to keep going. I'm so appreciative of all of you. Give us a like over on Apple iTunes and come and join us in the collective. We'll see you there.